paper N, which is coming from Gillian. Anything you want to say to the paper?
Okay, just in terms of noting the different styles again. A couple of things I just want to emphasise is the work we've already started, as I was alluding to earlier, in terms of the content changes within the CCG. One of the things that I think people will notice is the fact that we're going to be having monthly governing bodies. I mean, there isn't actually one in August because of holidays, but they will be monthly. So the aim is to ensure that there is more public transparency in terms of the work we're doing and accountability. This will be also strengthening the leadership within the governing body as well. There's more GPs that are going to be part of that. And we've also set up a clinical senate, because one of the things we really need to refocus on is the clinical leadership within the CCG as well. We're progressing on work in terms of looking at what we should commission at scale with the Hampshire group, as well as what we should commission on a very integrated way and be place-based on the island. And Karen and I are certainly doing quite a lot of work on that at the moment. The other thing that we would like to do is bring the urgent care blueprint to the next meeting, because I think it's important that we'll be all excited on the work that we're doing there. And I didn't know whether Tim wanted to say anything on primary care, because I do know that's a particular issue, or whether one of the issues when you don't come to the board on a regular basis, whether you discussed it at recent meetings. So that's what to me.
Want to speak to you? She's going to introduce herself.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Timothy Whelan. I'm the deputy chair, I'm the deputy clinical chair. So I'm really here on behalf of Michelle Lake, who's at the main meetings today. And I think I'd also like to say it's some really interesting comments about access to general practice being a major concern. And I think also we should heed Councillor Brodie's comments that he made earlier on about the real frustration that the population of the island is feeling. So we really mustn't dismiss those. We must heed them and try to do anything about it. Because as Councillor Brodie heard when he came to the CCG AGM last week, we do have real problems on the island wide. Treatment and retention of GPs, and following close on the heels of that, of nurses as well. We've heard about Sandown Health Centre having to close its list and the unhappiness that has caused the local population there. I think I would say that around the country too, this is not an island wide problem, around the whole country, very many practices feel they are just one incident away from collapse. And that is certainly the case on the island. And one can look at, I can think of quite a few practices on this island which are really struggling every bit as much as Sandown is. And we can only hope that Sandown has now been given a breathing space to reorganise itself and be able to provide the full service that it used to. But we need to be aware that the same fate could quite quickly befall other practices on the island as well. The other little thing I wanted to say was a comment there about the autistic spectrum disorder situation, and I'm well aware that was one of the other great concerns of the scrutiny committee. The situation on the island is that there really has been no service for the last 6 months since the demise of the service we previously used in Southampton. I believe that we have just been able to appoint would be very fortunate actually in finding a recently retired professor from London who's come to the island and has offered to start to tackle the backlog, which is I think about 150 children who are awaiting assessment of whether they suffer from autism or some degree of autism or not. So I think that is an understandable concern that the service has been lacking, but I think one could say to the CCG's credit that there has been there have been regular meetings with the families concerned, and we have been fortunate, as I say, I think, in resolving this. And to put that in context, our partner CCGs in Hampshire have recently enforced, they've used a new euphemism called a referral pause for 9 months, which to my mind means a complete stop on assessments, because they too have got no service for autism assessment. And whereas we have a backlog of 150 children awaiting assessment, they have 1,000. So I think we can see that although we are struggling in some degrees, this is only a reflection of really broad problems across the nation, and particularly, I have to say, with child and adolescent mental health, which is a real major headache for national services. And finally, I might just like to mention again the important responsibilities of the council. We share all these roles. The trust has had a great deal to say about its improvement plans. I think it's worth just reminding everybody again, there's been quite a lot said about housing, and I'm glad about that, because we should remember that the health and well-being of every population has remarkably little to do with doctors and nurses. It has a great deal more to do with housing, education, employment, and transport. And of course, the council has a major influence over those factors. And it's doubly important because those are just the factors which are stopping us recruiting and retaining good doctors and nurses and other clinical staff on assignment. Why would good doctors or nurses looking for a job, why would they come to the island when they discover that the schools are suboptimal, in Ofsted's opinion? There are limited employment opportunities for their marital partners, and the housing stock is rather limited, and as we know, transport, whether within the island or certainly to and fro the mainland, is jolly expensive and can be inconvenient. So I think it's great that, although I'm completely new, obviously, to this board here, and only representing Misha Lake, but I think it's great that the council and the trust and the CCP should be working together to try and fix these, because we can see the very broad impact these problems are having. Thank you.
I was thinking as you were talking some evocative comments, but actually you made some good points. I was thinking myself, right, so what? I think this is where the risk element of these reports is important, and it's maybe something we can think about. I think for me, if we had a list, I'll come back in a second, if we had a list of those risks, they would become the Health and Wellbeing Board's risk list, in the sense that if you put into the report there, for example, maybe in some detail, exactly where we were with the GPs and what the impact of that could be, that then becomes a risk for us all. So we should, as a team, then be thinking, now, hey, how are we going to manage that risk? But also, what can we do to reduce it? So I think there's an added value to people putting in risks and being very honest about it. So the GP one, good example. The autism comment, I mean, that's good news in the sense that, at last, we've managed to find something. Paul may comment on this in a moment. And we need to get that out there to the public, because at the moment they're sitting here thinking, irrespective of what's happening in Hampshire, because the island is like that, what are we doing about our problem? And I think that's really important that there's an answer there, and I think that's a bit of good news at a time when we've been bringing this back. So hopefully that will be picked up, and I'm sure it will. Paul, did you want to comment?
Absolutely. Autism, I was going to raise autism anyway, and I'll say this as it is. It was only when I listened to Barbara talk at the last safeguarding board that I finally had confidence that we were going to get some autism service back on the island. Barbara said it to me as it was at the last meeting, we were going to get an autism service back on the island. We have failed children far too long. I went to a meeting last Monday that seemed like a bravely chaired. The meeting was poor, the venue was poor, the whole environment meeting was poor. I admire secretaries at the front of the parents. But we have got 150 backlog, or we did have. We've got a whole bucket load more now that are still waiting to be assessed at the Army Register. No one can give us a number for those. the meeting itself, the three things, I don't think the CCG are taking this very seriously at virtually at all, for three reasons. One, the comment about parents' meetings. The comments I've got from parents after meeting, I've had since that meeting, are they're fed up with having meetings. That's the third one now. And the comment was between April and July, nothing has actually changed. They didn't get the sense of urgency. Professor Turk is brilliant. Having chatted to the guy, 2 days a week, he is not going to solve the problem. He's capable of it. I think he's really well dealt with him. We're really good. We're really pleased to have him. He's brilliant. But he's not going to do this himself 2 days a week. Yeah, that's comment. Parents are fed up having meetings. They don't get the urgency. I'm really quite disappointed that it's not in the risk section of the report, because it's mentioned right at the bottom of page two, but it's not a risk. It is a massive risk, because we've got, who knows, 250, who knows what the risk is. But it's not in the risk section of the report, which I think it should be. And at the meeting, Sue and John Doherty were there, they said to, there was a lady there from Bridges for Learning, lady called Siobhan, and she said, you know, my company can do these services. We're commissioned by the 1st of September, we're up and running fully to do these services. And both John and Sue said, come and talk to us. Please come to us. We want to talk to us at Turks. Come and talk to us. I've seen four emails that Siobhan has sent since last Monday. None of it has been really acknowledged, let alone replied to. And they were saying, you know, come and talk to us. You can help us through a short-term problem. Please talk to us. Then I'll be coming with four emails. So I get the end result, and I get the plan is good, the three-stage plan. There's no urgency from the CNG to get this sorted. The parents are coming to me, and the children are being failed. And I can't put any other way with it.
Do you think? It's one of the things is that you find when you've got that head for a role, which you're at the moment in the CCD, you're going to get the bullets flying in that direction. But I think these people are actually expressing frustration. It's right for them to do that sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's really important to acknowledge that we have failed children in terms of supporters on the island, because actually it isn't satisfactory in terms of where we are. I think we do need to acknowledge as well what Tim was saying in terms of some of the national difficulties in terms of recruitment. But I really want to say are working urgently. I've had at least two meetings this week with Dr. Stevens from the Trust in terms of trying, Mike was at one of them, in terms of actually trying to make sure that we're really progressing this and putting something in place. And one of the things we're trying to do, because you're absolutely right, Professor Turk isn't going to be able to do it all himself at all, but we needed somebody in the Trust that could provide that clinical leadership to actually set the new service up. But what we've got to do is clear the backlog that we've actually got in the service. So one of the things we've been exploring with Dr. Stevens this week is actually contracting with the range of potential organisations. I mean, I hadn't heard about this other organisation until after Monday's meeting. So what we're doing is exploring whether we can contract with a number of them through the Trust, because the Trust is actually going to be the sort of lead provider of this, and it's really important that somebody has the ring on what's actually happening and follow through with these children. It's not just about the diagnosis, it's about actually the support that's there for ongoing. But what we will be doing from a CCG perspective is support between the Trust in terms of taking that work forward and ensuring there's a potential range of providers that we can facilitate that. But we are working closely, and we really do take it seriously and treating it urgently.
Should be on your risk section now.
Yeah, and that's an admission. It really should
not
be.
Not yours, I accept that.
But it really should be that.
I suddenly thought.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, to be honest, it's one of our highest priorities at the moment.
So can I, from that, then make two actions. One, that Brian initiates on behalf of the board a risk list, which will be based on the risk elements of those reports, so we can get an overall picture of what our big risks are. And if I can use the autism as a case study, can we now then see how that risk is developed and how it is addressed? Not to scrutinise in that sense, because it becomes a significant problem, it can go over to John's recruitment committee. I think we would be interested to know how that's tackled, because it's that risk today, it could be in this in another area tomorrow, and I think we as a board need to show our support and listen to the problem and help that particular organisation to get through, because that's it actually affects the island. Are you okay with that, Brady? Barbara, do you want to comment on that?
Thank you. I just feel like, I must say again, that it's not just a mental health issue. The importance of this, this is really fundamental, that the importance of a really comprehensive service for these children is with mental health, yes, but our paediatric service, GP colleagues, and education and local authority. So it's not about just having one provider to do that. We really must ensure we do this right, so that parents aren't played off between children and health and local authority. I feel so strongly about this, that it's important we get the delivery right. I have every confidence that Leslie will do that, and I'm going to work closely with Leslie.
You know what is reassuring, and whether it's Jeff or it's Kathy or it's you or it's you, there is definitely the passion in this board to see the right thing done. And I think all we're trying to do, and I'm trying to do as chair, is steer that to happen, because it's not a blame, it's about sorting out the problem. That's my lead into Jeff's question.
Thank you. I don't know if you'd be able to respond easily, Julian, but I mean, obviously the CCG is leading on a number of reviews of services that are being on most topically the acute services redesigning, which is concerns me massively. But it was brought to my attention fairly recently a long list of services that you were no longer commissioning from the Trust. That's been instructed by NHS England. Now, I can't remember the list and I forgot to take a copy, but I mean, it was things like back pain injections. I mean, that was something I had 20 years ago to help me a great deal, but they have now been forbidden by NHS England. Do you have any comment on that?
Certainly it's not about individual services, it's about actually specific treatments, and any of the guidance that we've had from NHS England is based on NICE recommendations in terms of what's actually effective or not. So we have to implement the national policy, but it is based on clinical evidence that there actually isn't the efficacy in terms of delivering some of these things. I mean, Tim would be far better able to comment on some of those things, but that's where it would come from.
I mean, Jeff, obviously I haven't got the list with me, but as I read through it, you know, I thought two or three maybe, from my entirely lay perspective, I was surprised that the NHS did them. But there was a lot of them I thought will really affect people. I mean, I'll share it with you, and I'll share it with the media as well, because I think it's quite an interesting list to find out the things that are no longer available. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. I wouldn't mind. Maggie, do you want to comment on that? And then I'm going to move to you as the final speaker this afternoon, and so you're going to close this off as well. Is that interesting?